Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to the DVC Newscast. This is episode 158. I'm Peter and I'm joined again this week by Sue. Welcome, Sue.
Hey, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Winter's starting to wind down here and it was almost warm yesterday. It was up in the 50s, you know. Hey.
Hey. Spring is almost here.
Spring is around the corner. Shannon hasn't been on in a while. She's been having some personal issues that have been going on that haven't allowed her to join us. But, you know, Sue and I love talking about the news. So we're going to cover a couple of tidbits that have come along. It hasn't been a busy news time really for Disney, but, you know, we got a couple stories.
A couple good ones.
A couple updates to give. But before we do that, let's have a thank you to our sponsor. And this week's sponsor is Monera Financial. And that is a company that finances your DVC contract for you. And basically, they accept any contract that you are interested in financing, they'll do it. Whether it's a resale contract that you're getting through the world of DVC, or if even a contract through Disney, they will refinance that contract for you and give you a better rate than Disney does. So go ahead and check them out at monerafinancial.com. And with that, we're going to get into our news stories, but a couple of updates that came out in the last couple of weeks since we've had a show, but these aren't really full-blown news stories. Last episode, we talked about Jelly Roll's closing, and we did get a date for that. The date is actually April 19th of this year. Fortunately, I will be down there April 5th through the 7th, so I get one last visit to the old Jelly Rolls. But, you know, if you really enjoy Jelly Rolls, you're going to be in the area. That's when your last chance is to visit it in its current location. They have not said when or where it's going to reopen yet. I'm going to be asking some questions when I'm down there. And the other little tidbit that came out since our last episode was that the virtual queues at the Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot and Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Magic Kingdom both ended on February 25th. I mean, that news has been out there for a while. At this point, we're into the beginning of March. But just so people are aware, if you get your main Disney news from here, you might not be aware of that. So now there are no virtual queues at Florida at all.
Wow.
There's obviously still single lightning lanes for these rides, but no virtual queues. It's all standby. What do you think of that, Sue? Well,
I think it makes it easier now without having to try and get into one of the virtual queues. And, you know, I don't mind waiting in line or getting a lightning lane. It's nice not to have to get up and get into a queue and deal with that.
I kind of agree. It's one less thing to have to like try and work your trip around.
Yep.
I'm not a big fan of all the paid lightning lanes. And I mean, I guess I didn't mind it when it was all free, but like sometimes frustrating to me to have so many things that you have to like schedule around. And at least now with lightning lane, you can pre-book it. So you can kind of plan around a little more, but the virtual queues, you couldn't. You would wake up in the morning, you'd sign up for it and it would be like, I got number one. Oh, I was going to get to the park till 11. Darn.
Right.
You know?
Right. Now you can be more spontaneous. I mean, and if you don't mind waiting in line, you can be more spontaneous. And if you decide, hey, let's do it now, let's go and wait in the line.
Come back later. Let's wait till the end of the day. Let's do it at rope drop. You know, all those things. And I think Guardians was added to the rope drop at Epcot. Tiana, obviously, Magic Kingdom, they don't open Frontierland for rope drop, or I shouldn't say rope drop, I'm saying it wrong. The early entry for the DVC members and for people that are staying on property. Guardians is now open for that half hour early bit. So, I mean, if you're not staying on property and you want to go to Guardians, the line's already going to be an hour and a half or so by the time you can get there. Tiana's, you can still get through the regular rope drop. It's not open for the early entry.
Right. But not bad.
Yeah. But with that, we're going to get into our main news stories. And Sue, I'll let you go through this first one.
Okay, so there are changes to the DVC Moonlight Magic sign-up, and we've talked a little bit about this the last time, but today, March 6th, was the opening of the Spring Moonlight Magic events to the general public sign-up, and there have been some changes put in place to make the opportunity for signing up more even to all members. For both the member with a room booking and open registration, members are encouraged to sign in ahead of the 11 a.m. Eastern Time opening. Logging into the link requires your member number, and you no longer can have multiple browsers open in which you try to log on, as each member number will only be accepted once. So you can't have everyone in the household on different browsers trying to get into it at the same time. At 11 o'clock, all those signed in are given a randomized spot in the queue, so the time you log on does not give you an advantage either. Spots are assigned until the event is full. We had reports say that most members who were signed on before 11 o'clock were able to get the event that they selected, which is good. I think it's just a fair way of, you don't have to be the first to sign on. Your number that you're going to get is randomized, which to me, that's pretty good. If, you know, you've got parents bringing kids to school and they can't sign on that early or whatever, and taking away the multiple browsers by signing on with your number and your number is only going to be accepted once, I think that's a good idea too.
I don't want to say it was cheating the system because it was the way the system is, but it flattens the curve for people that may not know enough to sign on to multiple browsers or things like that. I also think it's nice that they've changed it so they have basically one date where they do all the events for that season. So like this most recent one was the Epcot event, the Typhoon Lagoon event, and there was a third one, I think, was it Hollywood Studios?
Hollywood Studios.
Yeah. All three events are signing on at the same time, so that kind of lengthens out how long they're going to be available, because all the people are signing on at the same time. You can only pick one of them anyways, so it hopefully will make it easier for more people to get, you know, because I think that's their biggest thing, is they want to allow as many people as possible the opportunity to do a Moonlight Magic. And I think that's what they're trying to do. And, you know, none of it is going to be perfect. You can't do it in such a way with, you know, with only 8 events a year or whatever, you can't do it in such a way that every member is going to get to go to an event. But I think they really are trying to set up something that gives all members the best chances, or the most members the best chances. So I can't complain about any of this, I don't think.
No, and it was nice to hear that those that did sign on before 11 o'clock in the morning were able to get the event that they selected. So out of those three events, they were able to choose one event that they wanted and actually get it. So that's kind of nice. As you said, they were having three events, and having them all sign up at the same time on the same day was probably something that just kind of dispersed it a little bit more evenly.
Yeah, I only saw one person say they weren't able to get in. So almost everybody that wanted to, I think, was able to. I mean, it's a small sample. Obviously, this is at my DVC points member community, but it's a pretty representative sample. So hopefully this means a lot more people that are trying at that start of the day mark are getting it.
Right. Sounds good.
So this one was one that Chad told me about. And DVC members are receiving 20% discounts on VIP tours for a limited time, though it's a pretty long time, actually. But DVC members are being offered a 20% discount on VIP tours from April 28th through September 27th, with the exception of like holiday dates. So like not Memorial Day weekend, not 4th of July, not Labor Day. So, but other than that, if you go on there, it's almost all the dates. VIP tours obviously are pretty expensive. You can bring up to 10 people on these tours, and the pricing ranges anywhere depending on the park, the time of year, and the date, from $450 an hour up to $900 an hour. We have some inside sources that say that the advent of the Premier Lightning Lane Pass, which you can just for a couple $100 a person, has actually created considerably less demand for the VIP tours. And I guess that kind of makes sense. You know, if you have a family of four, you can't put a big group together, and you're paying $900 an hour for these VIP tours, and instead you can pay $400 per person per day and still get to the front of all the lines. I can see why people might choose that. Both of these things are outside of my price range, so it doesn't matter. More people are using the Lightning Lane and not using the VIP tours. So it's given this opportunity for there to be a sale on them. 20% off is a lot of money when when you're looking at something that's thousands of dollars. So if it was something you were ever going to consider putting a group together, some of the folks from the MyDVC Points community, they'll do that where they get two or three parties together and do a 10-person group that, you know, will split it amongst even four or five different parties and really reduce the individual price for doing it. If you're thinking of doing something like that, you're going with some friends, it might be a chance to try it.
And keep in mind that that $450 to $900 per hour is a minimum of 7 consecutive hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Right. Yep. Now you've done them before, though, right?
Yeah. Yep. I've done a few of them with groups, and if you're paying $400 for the Premier Pass and you have a family of four, try and find a few extra people who will go in on a VIP tour, because the difference that I see in it is with the Premier Pass, you're restricted to the one park. Right. With the VIP Pass, they take you from park to park. And we actually did four parks in one day and hit the major attractions in each one of the parks. We got to see a lot of stuff. We also learned a lot from our guide who was there. When it came time for lunch, he pre-ordered for us and while we were on an attraction, and then had us sit down at the table, and he had the food there waiting for us. So we didn't waste any time at all. And you also get some snacks and waters and Mickey bars, that type of thing. You do get a few things, but you are chauffeured from park to park and you come in through the backstage area. So if it's just a family of four trying to do it, it's expensive. But right. if that family of four could get six more people and split it, to me, it actually works out better, because you can hit three to four parks and do the major attractions and be done.
I can see that for sure. You can do a lot in a day. Even if you don't try to do all four parks, you can do a lot at two or three parks. You can cover two or three parks, getting in all the major attractions. And it's, as you say, it's a guided tour. So you have someone there really doing everything for you. The VIP cast members are the top of the line cast members. That's the only way they get that role, is they have to be the best cast members, and they have to go through a lot of customer experience roles before they can get to that level. It's really a top of the line experience. Whereas the Premier Lightning Lane is basically, I got a fast pass for everything. so it's short lines, but it's not really giving you any kind of premier experience per se, other than I get to walk by these other people.
Right.
And honestly, like, Lightning Lanes aren't always short either, you know, so maybe you're not waiting 90 minutes for a ride, but you could still be waiting 30.
Right. There is some benefit to at least having the 20% off of $450 to $900 per hour. And it looks like it's going to be, past Easter through the summertime. It's also the same time that you find Epic Universe is going to be opening.
Oh, that's a good point too. Yeah.
Anyhow, our next story.
Yeah. Our next story is, and we talked about this in a recent episode, that the Grand Californian refurbishment out in Disneyland was going to start. And over at dvcnews.com, they posted some images of a 2-bedroom refurbished room. And the results are a little surprising in that it hasn't changed very much. They did install the Murphy style bed, has replaced the existing sofa bed, so I'm sure everybody appreciates that. And the kitchens have all new appliances and everything, but the flooring, the walls, cabinetry, and maybe they replaced some doors, I don't know, but it really all looks the same. The bathrooms look like they've remained unchanged. You know, while the room decor is maybe a little lighter, it still has a lot of the dark tones of the rest of the resort. No, did you look at these photos that they posted?
Yeah, and I thought the same thing, because we had stayed there. And in looking at the photos, I didn't notice too much of a difference. I mean, not like the refurbishments that we've had here at WDW. It still has that dark feel to it.
Yep.
And I think the kitchen cabinets maybe they were resurfaced a little bit, but it was still, to me, it looked like the same cabinet.
Yeah, no, it did look, I mean, everything looked very, I've stayed there 2 times, I think, so I can't say that I'm an expert on the interior of that resort, but yeah, it did look very similar to what was already there. Yeah, I'm not sure how much change they're going through with that. It's a little surprising, especially considering they've been open for like 15 years, right, and this is the first hard goods that they've done. I'm a little surprised it doesn't look a lot different, because as you said, most of the ones at Disney World look significantly different. And really, the main negative that you see in some of them is that they've kind of like toned down the theming in some of them.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Boardwalk especially is I think more lightly themed, maybe Beach Club. I think Wilderness Lodge, they kept the theming there. You still have that kind of woodsy feeling. So it depends on the resort. It's a little surprising though that they didn't change it very much.
Right.
So I don't know if owners will be disappointed in that or not. I mean, it is the style of the resort, so you can't complain about that.
Right, but, right. It still is craftsman. You know, it's that craftsman style. Even if you look at some of the resorts here, I know when they redid the rooms over at Old Key West, I mean, they took tile out. They took countertops out. I mean, it was when they did a hard goods refurbishment, they did a lot.
Yeah, I've seen soft goods refurbishments that look more different than this one does. Usually they gut it. The bathroom looks a lot different. I mean, yeah, the tub might be the same, but they do a lot of changes. And this one looks very, very light. In addition, over there, it's a couple other things going on. There's some exterior construction being done on the DVC wing. So I'm guessing that's being done to the same rooms that are closed internally. But just something to be aware of, there might be some construction going on both inside and outside on the DVC wing. So you might not get your normal views out the windows. You might hear a little bit of noise during the day. It's hard to say. It's always a risk during a refurbishment. And in addition, one of the three pools there at the resort, the one called the Fountain Pool, and I can't tell you which one that is, except I know it's not the one with the slide.
Right.
The Fountain Pool is closed at the moment for refurbishment. I'm not sure how long it's going to be closed for. The other two pools are still open, so you might have a little more crowds at the pool. But other than that, the one pool is closed at the moment.
Well, you know, I was kind of thinking with only 50 rooms there, it would be difficult for them to close them down for a longer period of time for refurbishment. So that might have been a consideration in their decision as to what they were going to do this time. At least with the other resorts here, you get Old Key West or you get Saratoga Springs. They're huge resorts and you can close down a whole building. But they're having 50 rooms.
Right.
You really don't want to close those rooms down for too long.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think about Saratoga Springs, you close a building, you're still taking out less than 10% of the rooms.
Right.
Whereas here you take out 5 rooms and you're taking out 10% of the rooms. And I imagine they're only taking a few out at a time because of that. You have a really good point there, Sue. I think that could definitely be what they're thinking of, is let's get this done as quickly as we can without spending a lot of time completely redoing the rooms.
Right.
Especially if they get a lot of feedback that people like the style of them. Mm-hmm. If you like the style of the Grand Californian, you got to like the style of the rooms. Right. You know, so as long as they're taking the carpet out where it's worn and any furnishings that are worn and that type of thing, as long as they're refreshing it to look like new, then I guess you can't complain too much, right?
Right. So, got it.
Last story that we have is Blizzard Beach was recently announced to host a month-long celebration for the 30th anniversary of that park.
Wow, 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Blizzard Beach first opened its gates on April 1st, 1995, and Disney is keeping Blizzard Beach open through the month of April with a series of limited time events at the park. So originally they had actually announced it was going to, or the thought was it was going to close April 1st and Typhoon Lagoon was going to open, but they actually delayed Typhoon Lagoon till May 1st. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse will be greeting guests dressed in their winter attire. A DJ will play music throughout the day, along with dance parties and family-friendly games. Unique character-themed tubes will be found in Cross Country Creek. I think they're pulling those from, because I think they use those at the nighttime thing at Typhoon Lagoon.
Uh-huh.
The DVC After Hours, but they also right. have the nighttime hard ticket event at Typhoon Lagoon, and they
right.
put those tubes in that lazy river, so they're yep. just grabbing them from that storehouse and throwing them in this river. And then, of course, it wouldn't be Disney without limited time food and beverage offerings.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. My wife and I are going to go. Again, we're going down just for a long weekend, April. I can't even remember the dates now. I think it's the 5th through the 7th. As everybody knows, this year, free water parks for arrival day. We don't have our annual pass yet. We weren't planning to go on any theme parks. We got a very early flight, so we actually land in Orlando at 7:45 a.m.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
Early flight.
Room will not be ready.
Our room will definitely not be ready, and we will probably make rope drop at Blizzard Beach.
Yep.
In fact, we probably have time for breakfast first. Since COVID, they've pretty much only had one park open at a time. May 1st, Blizzard Beach will be closing, and Typhoon Lagoon will be opening to take its place. And don't forget, as DVC members, your stay allows you eligible for complimentary entrance to Disney Water Park on the first day of your stay. And I did double check. I do not have park tickets, but I still qualify for the water park entry. Yep. So you don't need to have park tickets. It's just the hotel stay or the DVC stay.
I'm hoping to do that on March 13th. I'm on a reservation over at Saratoga Springs with a party. And I think that's where I'm going to start my day.
Yeah, Blizzard Beach isn't my favorite of the two parks, because as I've gotten older, I'm not as into thrill water slides. And I think the water slides here are more thrilling. We do like the family raft ride a lot. So I'm sure Yolanda and I will do that a couple times. But we'll probably mostly just hang out in the lazy river for a few hours till our room's ready.
Well, I have to admit, I have never been to Blizzard Beach.
Really?
So I always go Typhoon Lagoon. I'm a Typhoon Lagoon girl.
I prefer Typhoon Lagoon as well. The family raft ride there is fantastic. I mean, they opened that one at Typhoon Lagoon that's similar.
Yep.
The one at Blizzard Beach is much bigger from the rafts are much bigger. And so it's a little more comfortable to get it and easy to get in and out of the rafts. And what's nice is they have the chairlift. So you don't even have to climb up the hill at Typhoon Lagoon, that family raft ride. You actually ride in the raft up it.
Yep.
Which I don't love either. So, but they have the chairlift. So you ride up the chairlift, you get in the raft, you're ride down in the raft. As I said, that's probably my wife's favorite water park ride between the two parks.
Neat.
So I'm sure we'll do that a couple of times. And as I said, especially you don't have to trudge all the way up that hill. Blizzard Beach is so tall, climbing up that hill a couple times, you're like, that's enough water slides.
Yes, that's like climbing up the hill at Humunga Cowabunga. And you're going one step at a time.
And the other thing I'll give Blizzard Beach over Typhoon Lagoon is the older kids area there. Typhoon Lagoon has a good small children area for kids.
Yeah.
But Blizzard Beach has like a small kid and then a medium, like 5 to 10 year old kind of area, where it has some legitimate water slides and things like that. So if your child's a little older than the diaper set, so to speak, there's a good area there for bringing your kid that they'd have enough to do to run around and try things and not get bored by it, where they might in the smaller kiddie area. But yeah, otherwise I'm a big Typhoon Lagoon. I love the big wave pool. I like the water coaster there. I like the tube slide. It's a real fun park. Blizzard Beach has its bits too. I love the lazy river at Blizzard Beach because it goes through some caves. That's kind of cool.
I'm excited now. I'm going to have to go there on the 13th and check it out.
No, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yep.
For sure. And with that though, Sue, I don't have any other stories. I don't know if you have anything that's been going on that you want to share.
Not much of anything going on. It's just getting to be the holiday times here with having St. Patrick's Day. I'm hoping to go to Raglan Road and be able to participate in some of the activities. I love the Irish step dancers that they have and the entertainment both inside and outside. It should be a lot of fun.
We're looking forward to our trip. We'll be down, as I said, we're only down for 2 nights, but we're going to be coming down in about a month. This will be our first visit since January of last year. So 15 months is a pretty long stretch for us to have not been to Florida. And again, no theme parks planned. So, but we're going to check out the new Island Tower. That was the big thing. We got a duo studio for 2 nights for a ridiculous number of points in my view, but you know, at least they're only duo studio ridiculous.
Yes.
I think it's 60 points for 2 nights.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Well, it's the premier. It was the premium, I think they call it. It's the ones that face the lake, but don't actually face the theme park.
Right.
You can see the lake, but from what I hear from the room, you cannot actually see the theme park from your room. So if you want to see the fireworks, you got to go to one of the little gardens or go down to the beach.
Yeah.
We figured for 2 nights, we booked it kind of like I just wanted to see the new tower, be able to get some photos to put on. I'll give a quick plug for DVCHelp.com, which is, you know, the website that I run that has a lot of information about all the DVC resorts and DVC in general, how to use your DVC points. And I wanted to get some pictures and some video that I could post on there. And so I booked it. And then when they announced closing Jelly Rolls, I was like, well, I guess we're definitely doing this because I want to do it one more time in Jelly Rolls. And the water park thing's just a bonus, I guess.
Yep. Yep. You've got your 2 days kind of planned.
Yep. Real quick, Chad gave me a review that we got for our show on iTunes. This review was from Always Be Planning, and it was 5-star review, all things DVC and so much more. I love the DVC content, but this show is a great way to keep current on all the latest Disney news, not just DVC. Check it out. And so that's really appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone out there, if you haven't posted a review on iTunes for us, it really does help. I mean, you hear a lot of podcasts saying that, but it's really true. It helps searches and things like that. And same thing on YouTube. You know, if you're watching us on YouTube, go ahead and put a review there on YouTube or put a comment in there and let us know what you think of the show. Let us know if you like it. Give it the old YouTube thumbs up, right?
Yep. And like, if there's anything that you'd like to see us add.
Yeah, anything you'd like us to change up a little bit if we spend too much time talking about our trips at the end. We try to save that for the end. So if you want to tune us out, you don't have to listen to us. We get the news up front. People sometimes want to hear about what you're doing.
Well, when I go to Blizzard Beach, I am going to film it and I'll post that out on a website, on my social media site.
Yeah. What day did you say? March 5th, 13th?
March 13th. Yep.
Yeah. So if you're at Blizzard Beach on March 13th, look for Sue running around with her camera or her phone, I guess. Don't drop it in the river, Sue.
No, I'll bring the GoPro.
Oh, waterproof. Nice. Yeah, it's good idea. I don't have a waterproof one, so I guess I'll just be careful.
Yeah, and if anybody sees me over there, stop. I'd love to talk to you.
I'll be heading for Jelly Rolls on the Sunday, which is April 6th. So if you are in Orlando or, you know, at the theme parks or not at the theme parks, because you don't need to have a ticket to get to Jelly Rolls, come by Jelly Rolls. And I always say, if you come by and say, hey, Pete, how's it going? I'll buy you a round.
I'll see you there, Pete.
All right, so let's finish up. I'd like to thank our 3 sponsors from the world of DVC, and that's the DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of this show and the entire MyDVC Points platform. And with that, we're going to say, see y'all real soon.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.